I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. Ping, pong, ping, pong. It may seem meaningless, but two authors will argue otherwise. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
It may very well seem meaningless.
Well, you just listen and you'll see. I guess we'd better enjoy this pro basketball season, Charlie, because Billy Hunter, the head of the NBA Players Association, said this week that he is 99% sure there will be a lockout next summer. You agree with his math?
I agree with his political sensibility, where he points out that the owners are not budging on anything, including demands for cuts in salaries, contract lengths, guarantees, annual raises, and the rookie salary scale. If the other side is not negotiating, you wind up with a lockout. But I would point out, Bill, that the NFL may be careering toward a lockout itself, which means soccer's big opportunity may be here in the United States of America. No sports of any kind.
A bright side to every story, I guess. President Obama spoke of patience this week, but he was not talking about the economic recovery or any of the other major issues that this country is facing. For what, pray tell, does our commander-in-chief wish us to wait patiently?
Well, he wants us to be patient on the Miami Heat. Why he's even discussing this at this point, I don't have any idea. But I'll tell you one thing. If he really did say this, as quoted in the Associated Press, it takes some time for the team to come together. There's no I in team. If he really said there's no I in team, can you impeach a president for talking like the worst sports writer in America? Because that's about where he is right now. Well, that's awful.
I can think of numbers of presidents who would have fallen and, if that were the case.
And there's no G in stupid.
Meanwhile, in Cleveland, basketball fans are being warned to choose their wardrobes very carefully for LeBron's first game against the Cavaliers on December 2nd. Those fans wearing clothing that is considered crude or offensive to Mr. James or his family will be asked to remove that clothing. Isn't that sort of like saying to fans, come on, I dare you?
I don't know. I mean, if there's some fines involved, maybe they're just trying to find a way to raise a little money. I like the senior vice president of communications attitude, who says, we don't want to create a police state. Good. You have to set the bar somewhere. Okay. I would think that they would be able to make a policy where they only arouse people wearing the obscenities. But, you know, you stink, you quitter. We don't
You're
like
out
you,
of here.
You bum. Come on. Yeah. That's an American sports tradition.
Duquesne University has self-reported a possible rules violation to the NCAA. The school sent basketball gear to U.S. troops overseas via a junior college coach, which is apparently some sort of secondary rules violation. I wonder if maybe the NCAA might look the other way in this one instance.
I will bet you almost as much money as you have in your pocket that the NCAA doesn't look the other way. This is exactly the kind of stupid thing they like to make a statement on. If I was Duquesne University, I'd send shoes for the rest of the year and dare them to put me on probation.
I learned this week that a basketball player at IPFW has been wearing a boxing helmet when he plays after suffering 4 concussions during his sophomore season. Given all the news about post-concussion syndrome, I wonder if this becomes a trend.
I mean, it's an interesting innovation. It makes me wonder, I mean, from a purely basketball sense, it makes me wonder if John Peckinpah, the forward from IPFW, Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne, by the way, if you're keeping score at home of initials, and you should be, I wonder about his peripheral vision. I've never boxed, so I don't know.
It's a problem. Yeah. But you know, they tell me football players wear helmets, and yet they get concussions,
right? But I mean, at least this is an attempt.
Thanksgiving Day football games, Charlie. A traditional time of togetherness when families gather to watch grown men trying to intentionally break each other's arms. Wait a minute. That can't be right, can it?
Yeah. Sean Hill, the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, has accused the New England Patriots of trying to re-break his left forearm when he ran a quarterback sneak on 4th-and-1 from the New England 2 the other day. He claimed that he was down in the pile, apparently, and some guy was literally down, as he says, quote, literally down there trying to break my arm, which is already broken. Literally trying. I guess that wasn't seen by the officials. I guess it wasn't.
Meanwhile, the feud in Tennessee between Titans quarterback Vince Young and coach Jeff Fisher continues. Apparently, Young tried to apologize for his unruly behavior after being injured and benched last Sunday, but Fisher is not accepting that apology. Why not?
Because he texted it, and I don't blame Jeff Fisher on this one. Talk to me face-to-face. Call me on the telephone. As he points out, anybody could text.
He's a young guy. You know, texting is kind of his milieu.
Yeah, but why should anyone assume that it was actually Vince Young doing the texting?
Could have been Brett Favre. It is the season for baseball players to change teams, or at least to explore the possibility of doing so. Are you surprised that the Yankees have advised their shortstop, Derek Jeter, to, go ahead, test the market?
I'm stunned, actually. Jeter wants 6 years and $150 million, which no sane person would give him. And it looks like the Yankee fans are beginning to wonder about him himself. And I think Brian Cashman's playing this absolutely correctly. If you don't think our offer is fair, go see if you can get a better one.
Terry Collins last managed in the big leagues in 1999, but that did not deter the New York Mets from hiring him. Good choice?
I have no idea. I don't remember what his teams played like. I mean, I know he was at the Astros. He was 10 games over 500. He spent a year managing in Japan, and he actually was the manager of China when it won the World Baseball Classic in 2009. Can this guy handle the rapidly deteriorating New York Mets franchise? I don't know if anyone can, but at least this guy, if things go really bad, can retreat to other languages.
Charlie, it is perhaps old news, but on Sunday, when Jimmy Johnson finished first in the chase for the Sprint Cup, he had done that thing five consecutive times, so I suppose a salute to him from Mr. NASCAR would be in order.
I like the fact that he won it by winning the race. That was a very stylish move, and yeah, this puts him in very rarefied company.
When the Colorado Rapids beat FC Dallas on Sunday night to win Major League Soccer's championship, the two teams set a record for smallest TV audience for an MLS final. How bad is this news for the league?
I admire you, Bill, for actually throwing this into our little conversation. What really alarms me, and if I were a soccer fan, would make me have a very big sad, is the fact that they got an 0.1 and only 232,000 viewers on the Spanish language network Galavision, which I would suspect has a far more sophisticated television audience than that of the United States.
Yeah. Finally, Charlie, we have both heard a lot of unlikely stories about the people great athletes have credited as their role models and their mentors. But were you surprised when Kobe Bryant said this week that he was mentored by Michael Jackson?
Shocked, actually. And I guess I admire him for the depth and loyalty of his friendship. But my Lord, did the Lakers know about this?
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books. He joins me each week on Only a Game, of course. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.